Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you.
Hi, Diana. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My original career was as a journalist, a television journalist, and a web journalist. I'm the daughter of a foreign service officer. Mm-hmm. So I grew up all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I write historical romance mm-hmm. and historical mysteries.
I love this. And so what led you to start writing historical romance and historical mysteries? Like, do you have a passion for history or was it something else? Like, you know, because it's a unique market to corner.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I didn't start till a little bit late in life. I think I was 40 when I started writing my first romance. And I've always loved writing, but I never thought about what I could write. But I was in the library with my kids and it was a long line. Those was back in the days when you couldn't self-check out. Yeah. And there was a romance on, you know, on the shelf while we were waiting in line, and I started reading it. And, you know, when we got to the front of the line, I tossed it in the bag with the kids' books. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that summer sort of, I just got hooked. I mean, I'm one of those people who came to romance late. Yeah. A lot of people get hooked when they're teenagers but for me, I mean, I was fully grown.
Yeah.
And I must've read 100 that summer. I mean, I was really just obsessed with them and I loved them. I loved their message. I was totally drawn into to the world, especially historical romance. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the summer, I started writing my own, and that eventually became Compromising Willa, which was it wasn't the first book I published, but it's not the first book I sold, but it was eventually published.
Ooh, I love this. And
So I love history. Yes, I do love history. And as a journalist, I've covered stories where like fact is crazier than fiction. So a lot of my stories are often the seed, the original seed is based on a true story or comes from a true story. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where some of my inspiration comes from.
Mm-hmm. I love this. I've been reading your latest series and it's just been like such a treat to get one every year. And like, I need more, you know?
So
talk to us about your latest series. And first of all, how do you say, is it Marquise or Marquess or how do you
Marquis. Say? Marquis.
Marquis. Okay. So talk
Marquis to us. Makes his move.
Yes. So tell us about the series and tell us about the latest book in the series.
Well, the series is, when I decided to pitch this is the third book in the series. The series is the Clandestine Affairs series. Mm-hmm. But this is my first Own Voices series. Mm-hmm. These characters are of Arab origin, but they move around in English society. I mean, they're English also. Yeah. In this particular book, the Marquis is half Arab. He's kind of an outcast from society because he's not fully English, fully quote unquote English, white English. And he goes undercover as a footman in the home of the heroine because it's in the home of a map maker who drew a map that cheated the Marquis out of part of his land. Okay. So he's going undercover to try to find evidence that he was cheated out of his land. What he doesn't know, he thinks the master of the house is the map maker. But the big secret is that it's actually the heroine, the woman of the house, who is the master map maker.
Yeah. And we get a little bit of, I got a feeling like it was very Downton Abbey because he was acting as a footman. So we had to deal with like the servants and the, you know.
I had so much fun with that because I wanted him, you know, that fish out of water element. Yeah. I had so much fun with that. I actually got a couple of original sources. about like how footmen should act, what they should do, what their role is. There was actually a footman who wrote his memoirs. Mm-hmm. So I took a lot from that. I really wanted him sort of to understand and to be surprised and to realize that these are fully formed people. Yeah. And it's not an easy life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fascinating as a reader who reads about the society of the time to read about the servants, you know, like from the day-to-day life, you know, like the specifications, like how do you serve, you know, these members of society, you know, and how it's growing the day work, you know. So
yeah.
I loved, let's talk about the bone setter, the Viscount who
the Viscount made me do it.
Yes. I was like, I had the title in my head, but I'm like, I love
it. I'm terrible at titles. I mean, it's amazing I can remember my own. I'm terrible at titles.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the bone setter because I really love that she was a working woman, you know?
Yes. And I really, so she is, again, she is the Arab, well, she is the English daughter, English born daughter of Arab immigrants. Mm-hmm. And, there's a family tradition of bone setting in their family. And so she learns it from her father. And so she is a bone setter. So, and you know, she, of course, the Viscount comes to see her again. You know, the clandestine affairs is because everybody's pretending to be somebody else in this series. There's a lot of that. So the Viscount comes to see her. Now he does have a mangled shoulder because he was in the war and he fell off a horse. And that case I actually took out of, again, a primary source written by a bone setter and or written about bone setters and about original cases. And what was so interesting is that a lot of these people who had dislocations, they just suffered. The regular doctors did not know how to treat this. Bone setters did, but they were considered charlatans. They were considered kooks and cheats. And so it was a very interesting, I loved giving her that job. And like I said, I often base my characters on real people. And there was actually a woman bone setter. And of course, because I wrote this book a couple of years ago, now I forget her name, but she was very well known for being a bone setter. And, you know, she was known for, you know, solving a curvature of the spine for a very well-known doctor in London at the time. And she was very well regarded. So, and I thought that was fascinating. I mean, that's why I gave the heroine in The Marquis Makes His Move. I had written a story, a journalistic news story about how young American women, mostly students, were among the best map makers in early America. And the reason was they were in, you know, when they were being taught, the drawing of maps was a way to sort of bring the country together and have a feeling that you were a country together because it was such a young nation. And these women did really beautiful, meticulous maps. But as happens in history, women don't often get the credit they deserve. And in this situation, a lot of the map makers, and this was in England primarily, and probably in America too, but I was researching, I moved my research to England. They would not put their names on their maps because maps by women would not get as much money. It was thought they would not bring in as much money. So they would often put in their initials on these maps. So that's why I was inspired to make my heroine the map maker, but the master of the house, which is her husband. This is unusual because my heroine starts off married in this book.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, how is it going to work?
You know? It's a very forbidden romance.
It is. But I love the fact, like, there's somewhat angstier books. Like, you're looking for a little angsty, a little, like, more emotional. These books are for you, you know?
So. Thank you. They are pretty angsty. Yeah. Thank you. That's true.
So, awesome. So switching topics, let's chat about what has brought joy over the past couple of years. You know, we've gone through some tough times, but can be music, writing, books, hobbies, whatever it is that may have just
For me, what has sparked joy is it's in large, well, one of the main things that sparked joy was still being able to write, right? And but one of the caveats to that is part of what energizes you and feeds you to go to writing is, you know, going to conferences and meeting with readers and meeting with other writers. Yes. So it was a shame to lose some of that. I mean, that was difficult. I'm doing a lot of yoga. So that has sparked a lot of joy for me. We even emptied out the guest room and made it into a yoga studio. Yeah. So, and actually not having to move furniture makes me do yoga more.
Yeah.
So, and the whole family's kind of into it now. But so yoga has really sparked joy. It's kept me centered. I mean, I was, you know, for part of the pandemic, I was going to the, to the public, to the yoga studio outside, but with Omicron and, I don't go anymore. I just do it at home.
Yeah.
So that, and really just a renewed appreciation for socializing with people. And my brother, we did both Christmas and Thanksgiving at his house, but outside. And he built these large fires. And it was, it was fantastic. It was just beautiful to be sitting. And we were just lucky also, we had pretty days. It was like sunny and in the 50s.
Oh, nice.
And with these fires. And it was just a real joy to be with family, to be sitting outside on a beautiful sunny day, for everyone to be doing well, and sort of just to appreciate the fresh air. So, you know, what sparks joy, I guess, is, you know, seeing people, because it's a new appreciation, right, for being able to see people and to socialize with them. Yeah. Let's see, what else? And so that's pretty much it, the writing. Oh, and one of the things was I have kids in college, and, you know, they were sent home, and, you know, we're doing college from home. So that was time I never expected to have with them, my college kids, because they were home 24/7. We were having dinner together every night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know how thrilled they were.
They probably would appreciate it. Looking back, they might appreciate it. I don't think at the time they'd probably be like, but I wish I was in college, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So I would say those are the things.
Oh, this is a great way to look at it. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
I've just finished reading Sarah McLean's Bombshell.
Ooh, yeah.
And I just love her, and I love her books. And I mean, her book is, I love how they're, you know, it's a female girl gang. And they're just so badass. Can I say that?
Yes.
And, I just love the way she explores women and their power, and how they break down norms in society. So I'm really looking forward to the next book in the series, and I would recommend Bombshell for sure. I also, I'm not a big mafia romance reader. I mean, mafia romance reader. Yeah. But I did read one. It was the debut by an author named Mila Finelli, Mafia Mistress. So good.
Oh my God, so good.
And I mean, I just started reading it, and, you know, I would devour it in 2 or 3 days, which is good for me because, you know, I do have a 9-to-5 job. And then her second one has just come out, and it's called Mafia Darling. So, I mean, just really sucks you right in. So I've really enjoyed those. And also, if with this new show, Gilded Age, and speaking of, Netflix and all these things sparked a lot of joy also during the pandemic, because, there was a lot of time to sit home and watch these shows. So I am loving the new Gilded Age show on HBO. And if you're a big fan of those, read Joanna Shoup, who writes Gilded Age and does a fantastic job. So I love her books, and I am lucky enough to have a, it's not even an arc, it's just the manuscript she just sent to me for her fourth book in her current series, The Duke Gets Even. So I'm going to start reading that this weekend. I'm very excited. And so if you like Gilded Age, check out Joanna's books.
Yeah, I love Joanna's books. They're so good. They're like, I think they're like, when you get a break from, you know, English society, just move to New York in the 1890s.
You know? I know. I love it. I love that time period. I love what she does with it. Yeah. And yeah, so if you haven't read her, to the people out there, you know, try it. Go do it.
Yes, go do it. Awesome. Diana, tell us where you can find you online.
I am on Instagram at Diana Quincy Author, Diana_Quincy_Author. I'm also on Facebook. I am, I joined TikTok last month. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see me making a fool of myself, go find me on TikTok also.
Awesome.
And, you know, my website, DianaQuincy.com.
Yay. Awesome. Thank you, Diana, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. This was fun and it was quick.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.